Good morning. Thanks again for joining us for the second part of our Bible study from Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Very important. We talked about being on their side, not on their back. We talked about how to do that. This last session, we were sharing, number one, the idea of unconditional commitment. In other words, no matter what, our children or our grandchildren will always be important to us, and that we are committed to helping them through whatever they happen to be in right now. You know, beyond their childhood, we ought to be committed to helping them even after they become adults. Yes, unconditional commitment even after they become adults. Maybe in college, maybe after marriage, or maybe single and on their own. Unconditional commitment. You see, so many times I talk to parents who are frustrated with their adult children. And they're saying they've made an unwise decision here, and I can't believe they did this, and on and on. And they're on their back, but wonder why their adult children have nothing to do with them after that. You see, we need to have unconditional commitment to be there, to pray for them, to pray with them, and committed to helping them no matter what. Now, I'm going to say something that may be a little bit difficult for some people to quite accept. We need to be committed to helping them no matter who they marry. No matter who they marry. Oh, it could be that before the marriage, well, there were discussions and you as parents weren't really pleased with who it was they were going to be marrying. But you know what? After the marriage takes place, after the two become one, all of that needs to be in the past. Nothing ever needs to be brought up again. Never should the conversation be, I told you so. No. Because after the marriage does take place, then that has become God's will. And you as parents and you as grandparents need to be showing unconditional commitment even after they get married. Why? Because if you don't, you're never going to have an opportunity to have a part in their lives and their future and maybe even sharing times with them, because they have sensed already you've written them off. You'll have nothing to do with them. So unconditional commitment. The second thing with our children is scheduled times with the family. If God has given you children, and if they're still at home, you need to be planning scheduled times with your family. A week of vacation with them, doing what they all enjoy. Now, when my boys were in school, I'd take Saturdays off because that's when they're out of school. When they were not in school, if they were just little kids, I would take any day of the week off. But as soon as they started school, then I would take off the day that they were off. Now, let's face it. When you're a pastor, Saturdays are just great times to make a lot of visits, because there are more people off work and maybe at home. But you know what? When my boys were in school, I'd take Saturdays off, because I realized, yes, I'm a pastor, but I'm a parent before I'm a pastor, and I need to be spending time with them. My wife and I went to most of their sporting activities. I say most. We tried to go to all of them. Occasionally, I had some kind of a conflict that I could not change. But they knew that when I was there, I was on their side, not on their back. I wasn't screaming my displeasure from the football stands or the bleachers in the gym. I was there. I was on their side. See, their sporting abilities had no impact on my self-esteem. I wasn't out there playing the game through their abilities. And parents, we have to give that up. We have to give that up. Whatever their sporting abilities are, or if they have no sporting abilities, whatever they're involved in, it may be music, it may be art, it may be drama, whatever it is, we need to be there for them and with them. For any game that we were unable to attend, as soon as they walked in the door, what's the first question that's usually asked? Yeah, you're right. Did you win? You know, after a while, we realized that's not the best question to ask. So we started asking the questions, did you do your best? Did you learn anything tonight? If they won, they were going to tell us if they won. If they didn't win, did you do your best? Did you possibly learn something tonight? Did you learn anything about teamwork? See, these are the questions that are about the character that they are developing, because winning was not the most important thing. But I would just quickly summarize, schedule times with the family. Don't be so wrapped up in your work or wrapped up in your profession or whatever it is, that when they are leaving home, their attitude is, I'm ready to go, and I don't care if I ever come back, because we haven't spent time, quality time, with them. I guess my question is, are you available to your children? Are you available to them? See, always let them know when you're available. Now, if you can't be interrupted, let them know when you can. Let them know when you can, because it's vitally important that they know there will be a time as soon as possible for us to get together. Somebody put it this way, teenagers have emotional gas tanks, so to speak. They're love tanks, I guess I would call them. And those love tanks need to be refilled occasionally. Now, when their love tank is filled, it's see you later, and they walk away. But when their love tank is empty, they need to spend some time with somebody who loves them. And at times, they need you more than any money you may make on overtime at the job. Oh, so many parents will say, but look at all the money I'm making on overtime. Yeah, mm-hmm. And what do your kids think about that? Are they after what you can buy, or would they rather have you instead of that extra money? Are you available to your kids? Number four, listening in an understanding way. That's eye contact. Now, never assume you already know what they want to say. Let them say it without any interruptions. And then repeat in your own words what you think they have just said. Now, some teenagers laugh when they're nervous, so it's not disrespect. They're just nervous. But listen in an understanding way. If you're never available to listen, many times they will do something that will frustrate you, cause damage or whatever, simply to get your attention. You remember when Absalom burned the barley fields of Joab, the captain of King David, just to get his attention in 2 Samuel 14? See, is that what often takes place when our children are getting into trouble? Is it because they're trying to get our attention? Sometimes that's the way it is. Now, note the next four stages of parenting that enable you to train them and not strain them, provoking them to wrath. Stage number one is discipline. That's birth to age five. Birth to age five. In that stage, you establish the right to lead, and yes, you have tight boundaries that teach discipline to that age child. Somebody said it this way, if you cannot control your child, you cannot train him to his fullest potential. But if your child has not been controlled, his teachers cannot train him. So if he is not controlled by the time he goes off to school, it's going to be a horrible time at school. So stage one with your children is discipline, birth to age five. Stage two is training, ages 6 to 12. And a trainer works with the athlete daily. He's doing repetitious drills. He's stopping the player and going over fundamentals. You see, he's not in the game yet. He's just in practice. It's training time. That's ages 6 to 12. But stage three is coaching. That's when they're teenagers, ages 13 to 19. And children now are in the game of life themselves. Oh, we may send in occasional plays or call a timeout once in a while. And they can even begin to learn to call the plays for themselves. But the coach is only as good as he was a trainer. And so parents spend much time in the training time, ages 6 to 12. Because whatever is taught in those ages are what comes out in the teenage years. the teenage years. That's why attitudes are so very important in childhood, because they're very evident in adulthood. When you have an athlete that flips his mouthpiece out and bites off a portion of his opponent's ear, and a few seconds later bites off a portion of his other ear, what are we learning about that? Or how about an athlete that may have fantastic ability, but choke his coach and have such a horrible temper that he's constantly being pulled away from his coach, and he tries to beat up his coach or carry in a 2x4. See, those are all attitude issues that were never solved, anger issues that were never solved in the training time. Discipline, training, coaching, and then the fourth stage is friendship. Friendship. That's after they're old enough to leave home, after they're old enough to be on their own. Now, I hate to say it, but many times parents want to be the friends of their teenagers when they should just be focusing on being their coach. Being their coach. Let me tell you this. If you are not their coach, if you don't operate as their parent, who is willing to make them unhappy at times during their teenage years, then they will never choose you to be their friend later on in their lives. They have to respect you. They have to know that there are times that you make decisions that are for their best, may not make them happy. See, their friends are constantly trying to make them happy. But parents are not there to make their children happy. They're there to help them become holy, to develop a heart for God. Develop a heart for God. And so the passage that we looked at earlier, Colossians 3:17, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Would you say that your kids often face a lot of discouragement around your home? It could be that they have teachers that provoke them to anger, coaches that provoke them to anger, other authorities that provoke them to anger. See, God has given you the position as their parent to show unconditional commitment to them and unconditional love for them. My precious friends, if you want young people who will develop a heart for God and desire to serve God with all their hearts, start with stage one, discipline. Stage two, training. Stage three, coaching. And yes, what a joy it is when they become your friend. You may have messed up. Go back and ask them to forgive you. Go back and ask them to give you another chance and start all over again with God's new directions. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.